Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we worship this day, how we ponder and survey his wondrous cross in this time of Lent. I want to talk about the epistle reading today, Romans 5, one particular verse that I'll talk about. Let's pray as we consider the word of God. May we have ears to hear, we pray. Lord, give us ears to hear your word and hearts to believe your word as we continue this day to hear it. Work faith, repentance, understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. On a Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about 2,000 years ago, what happened? What great event, the greatest event in history, happened? 3 in the afternoon on a Friday, about 2,000 years ago, roughly. The death of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when he died, he yelled out, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and he breathed his last. Friday, 3 in the afternoon, about 2,000 years ago. In our epistle today, what struck me is that St. Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that this was exactly the right time. For while we were still weak, at the right time, at precisely the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that caught my attention as I prepared this week. Why was that the right time, Friday, 3 in the afternoon, roughly 2,000 years ago? Why then? May I share with you today, we're going to have a little Bible study today. Think with me, take some notes probably. Let's survey the cross like we just sang about and spend a few minutes talking about the timing of the cross, of why that was the right time for God to sacrifice his son. I'm going to give you 7 reasons why that was the right time. We're pondering, surveying the wonderful cross. Maybe take some notes, and you need to think and chew on this in your mind and heart as a Christian. The right time. First of all, this was the right time because God had given many, many prophecies, many, many promises, much foreshadowing, many predictions of the coming of his son and the death of his son. And those prophecies, those predictions were now over. He'd done enough of them, so it was time to fulfill them. And thus it was the right time. I've said enough. I predicted enough, promised enough. It's time to do it. So it's the right time. God could have had Cain be Jesus. The first son born to Adam and Eve was Cain, and obviously God in his wisdom could have had that been Jesus, and Jesus would have died. We'd have a very short Bible, a little short part of Genesis, and it'd all be over. That's not how God does it. Rather, God gives a lot of promises, a lot of promises. The whole Old Testament, 4,000 years, 39 books, many, many promises, prophecies of Jesus and his death all over the place. Why? To tell us it's important. And to make us ready when it happens. That we believe when it happens. So God promises and predicts it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm going to sacrifice my son, it's going to happen. Do you realize how important this is? I spent 4,000 years trying to tell you people it's going to happen. So you're ready for it. That's why. You know, what have the weather men and women been talking about the last 2 weeks? Snow. Cold. Ice. And you probably watched the weather with me. And they have weather, and they have weather, and they have weather, and they break in with weather, and they show you the map of the snow coming, the ice coming, and they predict, and prophesy, and prophesy. Why do they do all that? Because it's important for our lives. They want us to be ready when it hits. If we had 5 inches of snow, and the weather people never said a word about it, we'd be angry. We had all the snow, and no one said it was coming. I'm not prepared. I didn't get my bread and milk from Wiggles, doggone it. What am I going to do? God spends 4,000 years of the Old Testament predicting, promising. So it's important. Be ready. A second reason. God in the Old Testament, this is all from the Old Testament pointing to Jesus and the cross in the New. That's why we have the Old to predict the New. In the Old Testament, God has revealed his punishment for sin in many ways in the Old Testament. And all this is to prepare us for Jesus, that we want Jesus. We realize we need Jesus because we're hopeless without Jesus. So God again spends the entire Old Testament in many ways showing that he hates sin. God's not a softy, he's saying. I'm not a softy. I hate sin, and I'm going to punish sin. And so God gives us many punishment stories, if you will. There's a lot of wonderful grace stories too. Now I'm on punishment. So you have the flood. God saying, I hate sin. You need a savior. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone. I hate sin. It's a picture of hell. Follow God and long for Christ. The walls of Jericho come down. When they're in the desert, he opens up the ground and swallows his own people who rebel into idolatry. God hates sin. And then he sends Babylon upon Jerusalem and burns Jerusalem, the holy city, knocks down the Temple of Solomon. God hates sin. I'm going to punish it. I'm not a softy. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to wink my eye at it. I hate it. I'm going to punish it. All this prepare us. So we want Jesus. I have to have Jesus. He suffers the wrath of God, the punishment of God for me. Without him, I'm doomed to hell. The walls of my life go down, and I'm swallowed up in the fires of hell. I got to have Jesus. He's preparing. It's the right time. I have to prepare hearts first. A third reason from the Old Testament. God also, along with that, is showing us that we are powerless to do anything about sin. He's showing us the punishment. I hate it. You got to have Christ on the cross. And he's showing us, you are powerless, you proud, egotistical people. And Pastor Busher, you're the biggest one of all of them. Proud and egotistical. You think you're so great. I'm going to show you how weak you are, how powerless you are to do anything about it. So you got to have Jesus. And you long for him when he comes. You have to have him here in church. You have to hear of him, eat and drink him. You got to have him, his word and sacrament. You run here. You bust down the doors when there's snow to get here because you got to have him. He shows us we are weak. Paul says, while we were still weak, powerless is the idea. We're unable to atone for sin. We cannot make up for sin. We cannot be good enough for God. And God has to show us that. Because we think we're awful good. We think, well, maybe so-and-so's not, but I can make it. No, you can't. You're a sinner. God gives them great leaders in the Old Testament. Abraham. Abraham couldn't save anybody. He barely had a son. That was given by God. He raises up Moses. Moses couldn't save anybody. He raises up David, the great king. Who did David save? Solomon, glorious. Can't save anybody. He takes Elijah up in a chariot. Does Elijah take anybody with him? You have great leaders, but none of them can save you. They're powerless. You've got to have me come. He gives them the law in the Old Testament. And they think, surely we can make it by the law. We have laws now we can follow. We can make it by obeying the laws. We'll get back to God's grace by laws. And they break the law before Moses even bring down the two stone tablets. They committed idolatry of the golden calf. You can't keep the law. You're weak and powerless. All that to show us we got to have Jesus. We're ready for him. You know, my dentist for about 5 to 10 years has told me I got to get wisdom teeth taken out. I already have one out. I got three more. He said, they're going to get corrupt. They're going to crack. They're going to cause you problems. Take them out. And what did I say? Not Paul Busher's wisdom teeth. You already know I'm not wise to begin with. Though I haven't taken them out, then I'm really not wise. My wisdom teeth are strong. Mine are tough. You don't know Paul Busher, Dennis. I'm tough and strong. My teeth will not deteriorate. Well, about a month ago, my wisdom tooth back here cracked. And I swallowed part of my tooth, Pat. And tomorrow I go to get three wisdom teeth pulled. Well, pray for me. I'm tough. The dentist said, I guess the dentist knew he was smart. It'll happen. You just got to learn your own lesson. We have to learn that we are powerless people, not in our teeth, but in our hearts and in our lives. We are not good enough. We're not tough enough. And God over years has to show us that. Then we want Jesus. A fourth reason, we zero in now more on that. That's all from the Old Testament. Of why we have an Old Testament. Now we zero in more on that exact time, that Friday at 3 o'clock in the New Testament. Why exactly then? Well, a fourth reason. What great event, what great festival was happening when Jesus died? You should know this. The Passover. Another P word for you, Passover. And million, maybe more Jews came to Jerusalem during the Passover. That's why God chose that time. It's Passover time. And when you came to Jerusalem on that week, that weekend, what did you all want? What was the talk of the town? You needed a lamb. When are we going to get a lamb? Where are we going to buy a lamb? We got to have a lamb for Passover. We got to sacrifice the lamb, and we got to feast on that lamb to celebrate the Passover. It's got to be sacrificed. It's blood out there. We got to eat of it. That's to celebrate the Passover. We got to have a lamb. Lambs all over the place. And so God chooses that time, obviously, to say, my son's the lamb. Get rid of all these little lambs. You got to have my son. He's the lamb that will save you not from Egypt, but he saves you from sin, death, and hell. You need to drink the blood of that lamb. It's called communion. We drink it today and eat the body and drink the blood. We have our Passover feast called communion. We drink that blood. It's not wiped over our homes like the Old Testament. We drink it. It washes our hearts. And so we're saved. Passover time, obvious. I mentioned in Bible class, at Christmas and Epiphany, Jesus is the light. When we get to Easter, he's the lion who conquers. Pentecost, he's the Lord of the church. Lent, he's the lamb that was slain. More on that time. It was a Friday, exactly. God could have picked other days, probably, of the Passover time. He picks a Friday. This is to teach us the purpose and the power of Christ in his death. He looks like a weakling when he dies. He's dying. He's not strong. But oh, he picks a Friday to show us the purpose and power of it. Go back to the Old Testament. What great thing did God do on a Friday? He made man and woman on a Friday. It was a 6-day Friday when God made Adam. And you know how he made Adam. He breathed into dirt and Adam became a living being. Then he made Eve, and you know how he made Eve. He put Adam to sleep, and from Adam's side, he brought forth Eve on a Friday. And now you have God come to earth in Jesus, and on a Friday, Jesus breathes his last. He breathes out upon mankind, not breath that floats in the air, but he breathes out his life. It lands upon us in word and sacrament to make us anew. We're recreated. The old creation is corrupt by sin. So God recreates us in his own image again. That's the breathing out of Christ at the cross. We hear it in our ears. We get mouth-to-ear resuscitation in the church. The breath of Christ from his mouth into my ear. And I have faith. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm a new person. Made in his image. And just like he made Eve from the side of Adam, so from the side of Jesus comes blood and water. And we think of the water of baptism and the blood of communion that give birth to the bride, the church, us. The power of his death, new creation. We're the bride. We're the new Eve. We're the new Adam. We've been recreated, restored to the image of God, righteous, holy people. That's who we are as we sit in a pew. You know who you are? A sixth and seventh reason to finish up. Why 3 o'clock? We're zeroing in on Passover time, Friday, and now 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why that time? It was a time of prayer. Jews would pray at 6 in the morning often, 9 in the morning, 12 and 3, if not 6 at night too, every 3 hours, a time of official prayer. So right when Jesus dies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you have many people praying. And God is saying, don't you realize what the answer to your prayers is? It is the sacrifice of my son for your salvation. And that's always the answer to prayer. Jesus died for me. God is for me, not against me. God loves me. I can conquer all in him. And also, 3 o'clock in the afternoon makes us think of the Trinity. 3, Father, Son, Spirit. In Jewish time, it's the 9th hour. Well, 9 is 3 times 3. The timing stamped with the number 3. This is God's work, God is saying. It's not just the work of evil men crucifying some poor soul. This is the work of God sacrificing his son for the salvation of the world. It's God's work. It's God's love. God's mercy. You probably saw the little debate the last week or two between Giuliani and Obama. And Rudolph Giuliani said that Obama just doesn't love America that much. And he fought back. Yeah, I do. I don't know who loves who, and I don't know who really loves America. But I do know this. There's no question, there's no argument that God loves the world. Our true King, our God, loves the world. that he gave us his son. And that's the cross. You don't think God loves you? Look at a cross. And to finish up also, 3 o'clock in the afternoon was a time of great public activity. It's 3 in the afternoon. People are praying, but people are walking around conducting their business. They're all over the city. It's very public. The cross is very public. God does not have his son die in some closet at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's 3 in the afternoon out in the public where people are walking around. God wants this message proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Already at the cross, look, people. Look at your Savior. And look at your sin that caused it. Repent and be humble and believe what God's done for you. It's very public. This is why we have church and school now to continue the publicity, the proclaiming of the cross at 3 in the afternoon, at 10:30 in the morning Sunday, 6:30 Wednesday night, and every other day as we take the good news to the world. I mentioned in Bible class that Ann and I went and saw Friday night, we went and saw this movie Big Eyes, based on a true story of a couple, the Keene couple, that made paintings of children with big eyes, and they became very famous back in the 60s and 70s. Big Eyes. Well, during Lent, we have big eyes. Our eyes are so big as we look at the cross. It was wonderful to have the children here, and they're looking at my cross. May we have, we don't, the cross. Our eyes are big. He died for me. He loves me. And then, as we leave, we tell the world about the big heart of God. Tell the world, God's not stingy and mean and angry. God has a big heart. His heart bleeds for you, friend. He loves you that much. He forgives you your sins. He wants you in heaven. That's our job, to tell the world about the big heart of God. Because many think he's a stingy, mean God that doesn't care at all. 7 reasons why it was the right time. 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday about 2,000 years ago. How wondrous to survey for a little while the timing of the cross. Amen. Let's rise, confess our faith, the words of the Nicene Creed, our faith in the Trinity.